and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti. With the Israel-Hamas ceasefire generally holding for several hours, a prisoner exchange is now on schedule 5 hours from now. Our coverage starts in Jerusalem and the BBC's Yolanda Nell.
The fighting didn't stop at exactly 7 o'clock in Gaza. In fact, there was also very intense fighting in the run-up to that deadline. Now we have to see also what happens on the ground, because Israel has been very strict that it doesn't want to see people who have relocated to the south in accordance with its orders, starting to return to their homes in the north.
CBS News correspondent Imtiaz Tayyab reports of the Palestinian West Bank.
They march through the streets of Ramallah, shouting the deal between Israel and Hamas isn't enough. They want to see an end to the war on Gaza completely and the release of all Palestinian prisoners.
Back here, what with shopping by keystroke and other changes in buying habits, the Friday after Thanksgiving is not as much a thing now as it used to be. Remember the door busters? Well, not as many doors being busted these days.
Black Friday is definitely not Black Friday anymore. People have gotten used to the idea of shopping online, not just going to a store. And so the experience now is that we shop over the period of several weeks. We don't just do it on Friday.
CBS News tech contributor Ian Schur. New York City's Mayor Eric Adams says he does not know the woman who's filed a legal document accusing him of sexual assault 30 years ago.
The accusation absolutely did not happen. I don't even recall who this person is. I've never recalled even meeting them.
Adams was in the NYPD at the time. As funeral and memorial plans are finalized for former First Lady Rosalynn Carter, details of her final moments are now coming into focus. CBS's Linda Kenyon with that.
Chip Carter, the son of Rosalynn and former President Jimmy Carter, describes how his parents held hands the night before Rosalynn died. Then aides helped Jimmy into his hospital bed, placed feet to feet with Rosalynn's, so the two could sit propped up facing each other to talk. Chip says by Sunday, with Rosalynn no longer able to speak and with Jimmy gazing at her, she died.
There are tight elections, and then there is this.
A candidate for parish sheriff in northwest Louisiana is demanding a recount after losing by a single vote in an election where more than 43,000 ballots were cast.
Correspondent Jim Crisula in Dublin. There have been dozens of arrests after a night of looting and rioting in the capital of Ireland. Police blaming far-right agitators for starting it after the stabbing of three young children. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Chris from Middleton, welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The gun deer season in Wisconsin is heading into its final weekend. A proposed bill in the state legislature aims to curb the spread of chronic wasting disease. Democratic Representative Katrina Shankland is proposing $2 million for carcass disposal sites and $100,000 to teach hunters about the brain wasting disease and why it's important to dispose of carcasses properly. Today's a big day in Greendale. The high school band is marching in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in New York City. The Greendale Band is one of just six high school bands from around the country to have the honor this year. It's the second time the Marching Panthers are appearing in the Macy's Parade. The last time was in 2016. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers beat the Lions on Thanksgiving Day. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers with a 29-22 win over the Lions. Detroit now 0-7 at home here on Thanksgiving Day. The game starting off with a deep pass from Jordan Love to Christian Watson for 53 yards, setting up the Packers' first touchdown.
Something we put in this week that, you know, we thought was going to work, and we were confident in it, and came out, you know, obviously put the ball up there, and Christian went up there and made a great catch.
Head coach Matt LaFleur said he almost canceled that play.
It was one of those deals. Matter of fact, I almost changed that first play call. I was kind of mulling it over quite a bit, and I texted Jordan this morning and told him I was going to change it to something else, and he said he wanted this call, so I said okay.
I asked Watson if he knew that play was almost canceled. Instead, he says he has to take the pressure off his quarterback.
So, you know, when stuff, you know, isn't going our way as a team and it's all getting thrown on Jordan, you know, I'm trying to, you know, find ways to, you know, take that off of him.
With sports from Ford Field in Detroit, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear skies in middle teens by sunrise with a north to northwest wind. Quite a bit of sunshine into Friday, highs in the lower 30s. Clouds are back, though, for Saturday. We'll see highs in the afternoon into the lower and middle 30s. It's 15 at our studios.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board, our producer and engineer. It is Tuesday, November 21st, 2023, 6 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. We welcome you in on a, well, a little bit gloomy day here in the city of Madison. A little bit of wetness going on here, a little precipitation, a little snow this morning in the air, a few flurries, overcast. We are high atop State Street, one block off the Capitol Square. Mr. Zommers, how are you on this fine Tuesday?
Not so bad, and you?
Well, I feel a little bit like the Scarecrow or the Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz because I had forgotten I did not only have a haircut appointment, what's left of it, although I should get a discount because I really don't have that much left, and then I had to go immediately over to a dental appointment for a cleaning and treatment and everything. So, you know, they've tried to shine me up a little bit, but you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear.
You've had a busy morning.
It's been a busy morning, and now I'm glad to be with not only you, but also our great listening audience across the state of Wisconsin. Big day today, and we welcome you in on a big show. We are honored to have two legislative giants in the state of Wisconsin joining us today, and they are U.S., I almost promoted you there, Wisconsin's former Wisconsin State Senate Majority Leader Dale Schultz on the Republican side, and former Wisconsin State Senate Majority Leader Tim Cullen on the Democratic side. In all full disclosure right up front, many of you who listen to this program know that I worked for Dale for a number of years, and I teased Senator Cullen that I kind of crossed over and worked for the other side a little bit too, because when Dale and Tim were working on not only redistricting, but also on mining legislation, along with former Senate Majority Leader and Democratic Senator Bob Jauch. But it was really my last stint in the legislature in Dale's last term, I had the opportunity to work with all three of them. And, you know, it's just... it was a great way to end my time working for the state legislature in truly a bipartisan fashion, because it really drove home the point to me that government works best when it works together. And we are very happy to have both former Senate Majority Leaders Dale Schultz and Tim Cullen with us today. Dale, a Republican, Tim, a Democrat. And these were the two, Mr. Zommers and everybody else, that these were the last two people, one Republican, one Democrat, who authored a true bipartisan bill together. There have been other bills authored either by one side or the other, but this was the last time you had a Republican and a Democrat co-author a bill on fair maps and redistricting in the state of Wisconsin. We welcome in the studio here on State Street, State Senator Dale Schultz, and via phone from the beautiful city of Janesville, Tim Cullen. Gentlemen, how are you?
Well, I'm fantastic. And I have to tell you, Todd, with respect to your haircut and your complaining about the price of it, my barber told me, be quiet, Dale. I might charge start charging you a finder's fee.
And you go to one of the classic all-time barbers in the city of Madison, George Barber to the Stars.
Yeah, Petrinus, you bet.
And he cut, I mean, all kinds of former legislators' hair.
Every big deal in downtown Madison, and there are a lot of them, at least in their own minds. And he managed for 50 years never to allow people to, you know, guess with any certainty what political party he leaned towards, which I thought was remarkable.
It really is. And Senator Cullen joins us from the beautiful city of Janesville, his hometown. Of course, you represented that area for years in the state Senate. Senator Cullen, did you ever take a visit to George Barber the Stars just to get the political dirt?
I went to some barber up there in the early 80s, but I think Dale ought to be concerned now that all the barbers in Richland Center are going to find out he's getting his barber work done in Madison up there with all those liberals instead of being down there in Richland Center with the home crowd helping out the economy of Richland Center. But that'll be Dale's to handle. I can't handle everything.
see now this is
kidding, of course.
This is a great example. I mean, to travel the state with these two guys and hear this good-natured joshing back and forth. I mean, honest to goodness, you guys, this was just one of the highlights of my time working in the legislature, because you guys would kid each other and give each other a hard time. But, you know, at the end of the day, you really did your best to get things done. And Senator Cullen, you know, Bill Proxmire, a longtime U.S. senator from Wisconsin, Democrat, wasn't that kind of his shtick to go into these small towns, whether he needed it or not, and get a haircut just to kind of get the local flavor?
Speaking of guys without
that,
much hair.
I sure wouldn't be surprised.
I think
he didn't have a lot to cut. So.
God
rest his soul.
Absolutely. One of the great Wisconsinites of all time. I know that both of you were at the state capitol earlier today as the Wisconsin State Supreme Court is taking up this important case involving gerrymandering and fair maps in Wisconsin. Senator Cullen, you made your way back to Janesville. I know you have other things to do, and we appreciate you taking the time today. And Dale, appreciate you stopping by our studios in Madison before you head back to Richland Center. Before we get into the nitty-gritty of it, give us the flavor at the state capitol. What was it like this morning, and what were your takeaways? Start with you, Senator Cullen.
Well, I thought it was energy. There was just energy there. That there was all these people with all had signs, you know, of stop gerrymandering. Some were, you know, produced and then handed out to them. But a lot of them brought their own signs from their own, that they had handmade their own signs. So that was really kind of neat. And the Supreme Court chamber was packed, and so they had some TVs set up in the rotunda so people could watch who could not get in there. We had a little rally there. I spoke at it for a little while, and then they had some other people who are involved in fighting gerrymandering, say a few words. And then they had the grannies. There's a grannies, a group of women from Madison. They call themselves the grannies something. Uh-huh. And they sing.
I believe the Raging Grannies.
Oh, yeah, the Raging Grannies.
There you go, Raging Grannies. Well, they were terrific, and everybody loved them. And they got the crowd to sing with them. They'd sing a line, and the crowd would repeat the line. It was a wonderful event. And I told the crowd, this is a really great day because it's the first day for all these years that Dale and I are running around the state and other people were fighting on this issue. This is the first concrete, specific action to finally, you know, get rid of gerrymandering and have fair maps with this action in the Supreme Court this morning. So kind of a big deal. It took 12 years to go from the first gerrymander to get to today, but we got to today.
And Dale, you were there as well this morning in the rotunda of the Capitol. You stopped by the Supreme Court chambers, I know, for a minute. What were your takeaways being there on the ground this morning?
It was just exciting because this is an issue that Tim and I have lived with for 10 years. Politics has changed a lot since we left the building. And I think listening to the arguments this morning, listening to the singing in the background, sort of reminded me that politics wasn't always sucking lemons and eating prunes all day, that there are people who can be polite, thoughtful, listen to one another, and search for the truth. And that's really what the Supreme Court is all about. Most legislators, just like most of the public, don't take the time ever to go down and listen to oral arguments in the Supreme Court. Now, I'm not an attorney. I was actually born into a legal family, but, you know, I decided to go straight to the top and make the laws rather than worrying about arguing about what it was. But seriously, the show is remarkable because you're dealing with the legal heavyweights in the state and a very controversial and important topic. And a very wise man told me before I came in here, oh, I understand, you know, most legislators and most attorneys, they're one of two kinds. There are those that learn the arguments and, you know, the points on the talking papers and the like and spit them back and always try to steer the questions over to what they want to say. And then there are the other kind that think on their feet and enjoy the repartee. So think of it, he said, like the difference between classical music and jazz. And I said, I like that a lot. That's a really great way to sort of describe the legislature and the court. And of course, you see the very best minds in the state at the state Supreme Court. And whether I agree with a particular judge or not on this case or the other, I have enormous respect for those people. And it's an institution that the public has to have respect for. And I thought they all acquitted themselves very well during the arguments. Obviously, it's kind of easy to tell on a couple of them where they are going to come down. Others, you just saw the quality of their thinking and, you know, got a real good sense of their mind with the questions they asked.
We're going to be taking listeners' calls a little bit later in this show. We are talking to former Senate Majority Leaders Dale Schultz, a Republican, Tim Cullen, a Democrat. Dale joins us here in the studio in Madison. Senator Cullen joining us from Janesville, Wisconsin via phone. We appreciate you both being here. Again, you've been so gracious to say you're fine with taking questions, so we're going to invite calls here in just a minute. Senator Cullen, before we get into the larger scope of what things that you and Dale worked on while you were in the legislature and kind of talking about this larger issue of fair maps and gerrymandering, help folks understand what's going on today. Dale talked about being there. You were there as well with him. This case that's being brought before the Supreme Court, again, Judge Janet Protasiewicz, I feel this, along with women's health care issues, were the two driving issues that helped propel her into a large margin victory, 11-plus points back in April. Now liberals have a 4-3 majority on the state Supreme Court. This issue that's coming before the Supreme Court today, Senator Cullen, a lot of it revolves around these islands in the current iteration of legislative maps and whether or not by law that this is defined as contiguous. And the result is that the Supreme Court could, keyword could, throw out all the maps. Help people kind of contextualize this, Senator Cullen. What is this case really about and where could this go?
Well, I'm not an expert on the case. I understand what it's trying to do. It's just a piece of the problem is what it is. But to say that islands are somehow contiguous, I mean, if you have to leave your district the way it is today with these islands, meaning that you have to leave your district, go through another legislator's district to get to your district again, which is on this island on the other side of the other legislator's district. I mean, that is no more contiguous than the man in the moon. I mean, that's just outrageous, and I hope that the court acknowledges it. But I heard one of them was trying to argue that they are contiguous. Well, they're not. In fact, there's one just east of Madison where the legislator, I believe, can go through two different districts to get to two of his islands
right. That
are not touching any part of his district. So
hold that thought, but, Senator Cullen. We'll come back and talk with more about with you and also former State Senate Majority Leader Dale Schultz. Your calls as well. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Tap, the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Now, I'm not even clear from conflicting headlines whether or not Robin Voss has the cojones to move forward with impeachment against Megan Mulk. Why would he do such a thing? You know, just a couple of weeks after he said he wasn't going to do such a thing. Well, he's been threatened, huh? By what? A group headed by his primary opponent, Adam Steed.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along here on a Tuesday, November 21st, 2023. Big issue, which a lot of Wisconsinites have been talking about for a while, and unfortunately, nothing really has gotten done in the legislature when we come to looking at gerrymandering, which is, you know, something that's, as my fifth grade teacher, Oda Scott, was fond of saying, it's been happening since God was a boy. And one of the things that I really appreciate about both of you, and again, we're talking to former Senate Majority Leader Tim Cullen, Democrat, joining us via phone from Janesville, and Dale Schultz, a Republican, joining us here in our studios in Madison. One of the things I enjoyed when I traveled with you both and was your staffer, when you travel the state talking about this, is that you both said, look, neither one of us or neither one of our parties are blameless. I want to go back and start with you, Senator Cullen, and then to Dale. You know, Democrats, you said straight out, you know, this is not a Republican-only problem.
No. Gerrymandering is not a – listen, this sounds probably crazy to some of your listeners, but let me explain it. Gerrymandering is not a partisan issue. Now, it sure looks that way in any one state. But what it is when one party gets the governorship and control of both houses of the legislature, they have total control in the year following the census when they redraw the maps to try to reflect population changes. That's the only reason why they do that every 10 years, official mm-hmm. reason. But they can't control themselves. They got total power. They gerrymander. And as I said this morning to the folks up there, and said several other places as well, I can take you to Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and Illinois, and show you Democratic gerrymanders because Democrats had total control in all three of those states. And some more. Those are just three that I'm familiar with. But then you take three states where Republicans had total control, Wisconsin, Michigan, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. They couldn't help themselves. They control. One of the things they do, by the way, when they gerrymander, they are guaranteeing themselves a job for the next 10 years. Mm. Their salary, their per diems, their pension grows, their health insurance grows. And I would like to ask all of your listeners, does any of your listeners have a job where they on their own action can guarantee themselves that job for the next 10 years?
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Don't think so.
Right. I don't think so either. Dale, you were in the majority party, the Republican Party, certainly your last term and for much of your legislative career. And I know one of the things that frustrated you was it was difficult to get your own party to get on board with this. One of the things I admired about this bill that you and Senator Cullen co-authored back in 2013, 2014, was that it said, we're not going to do this now. It'll be 10 years in the future. So who the heck knows who's going to be in control then? You couldn't even get a public hearing from former Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald, and you were the second, the third ranking Republican in your own caucus at the time.
Well, that's true, and it's sad because it was evident to both Tim Cullen and myself back then that there was a growing dissatisfaction with government and whether it really represented people or whose interests were actually being served, the public's or the particular legislator. And we saw this as a way of helping to restore faith. You remember, we had come off of all of Act 10 and had 120,000 of our closest friends outside the building, chanting and singing a lot. And it made a big impression on both of us as we sat there and we thought about what kinds of things can we do to help heal this democracy of ours. And nowadays, it's really quite commonplace. People talk a lot about, will democracy survive? How are we going to restore our mutual faith in the process that we have decided will govern each other by? And I think that issue is still relevant, and gerrymandering is directly related to that. When one side or another, depending upon, you know, who's in total control, can thwart the will of the people, you have a problem. And it was interesting this morning as I listened to the oral arguments, the interplay between the folks that were making their arguments and the justices talked a lot about stare decisis and sticking with previous court opinions, and that should be the role of the courts. They shouldn't legislate from the bench. Mm-hmm. Or does the courts actually provide the shield for the public as a whole from a rogue executive or legislative branch? Mm-hmm. And there are thoughtful and intelligent arguments on both sides of that issue, and ultimately they will make a decision. But I think that the public has pretty much told us that there's a big problem here, and they want it fixed, and they don't completely understand the legalese and how courts go about their decision making. And I really applaud those justices this morning, particularly Justice Kurofsky.
I'm sorry.
Jill Kurofsky had a line of questioning I thought that was very thoughtful. But actually, as I said before, all of the justices asked great questions, and many of them revolved around this central principle. And that's what makes it intriguing. You know, it's hard to be in a democracy. You have to put active effort into it. Mm-hmm. You have to put time into it. And that's what I thought was going on this morning and why I was there.
We're going to take your phone calls in the next segment for former Senate Majority Leaders Dale Schultz, Republican, and Tim Cullen, Democrat. But before we do, gentlemen, a quick answer for both of you here before the bottom of the hour. Dale, one of the things or the criticisms of Republicans has been they keep saying, oh, politics was never a part of drawing these lines. You were there in 2011, the time before these current maps. It was really the foundation of the current maps. What did you see when you were in the majority party when Republicans drew the maps in 2011?
There was no gambling going on in the place. I mean, come on. I think most people who are casual observers of the political process know that politics is always going on, and let's just admit it. The question is, what is it about the process that will keep us within due bounds with one another?
But there was computer software being used. There was a law firm across the street from the Capitol, and you were required to sign a non-disclosure thing in order to look at your district, the proposed district, correct?
That's all true. In many respects, that isn't strange. That's often the case when you engage attorneys. They like to control things. I think what was the surprise was the analytics and the computing power that was available that allowed people to draw incredible numbers of districts according to certain parameters.
Senator Cullen, about a minute left before I let you, before we go to break, we're going to come back and take callers in a moment. But one of the things I know that I was concerned is, if the liberal court finds these maps are unconstitutional, agree or disagree, the hope is that there's not an overreach by the liberal court or Democrats, but we actually have fair maps.
Well, we have to have fair maps. I think if the Democrats ever tried to have this be an opportunity to switch to a Democratic gerrymander, they would lose credibility for years. You can't be all Mr. and Mrs. Holy for 12 years when the other parties got power, and then when you have a chance to get some power, and you can't help yourself either, and you pursue a gerrymandered Matt.
Give us a call on the other side, 844-967-2789. Your questions for Dale Schultz and Tim Cullen, 844-967-2789. Back after this.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
CBS News special report with a prisoner exchange set for later this morning. There's now a four-day war pause in place in Gaza. Most of it is holding from Jerusalem. CBS's Linda Gradstein.
The ceasefire took root at 7 a.m. Israel time, and Israelis are waiting for the first group of hostages to be freed. Israeli officials warn they may face health complications and say they will be brought to medical facilities where they will be reunited with their families. Israel has said it will release 150 Palestinian prisoners, and the deal of hostages for prisoners could be extended.
The prisoner exchange to come worked out through the government of Qatar.
First patch of civilians to be released from Gaza will be around 4 p.m. They will be 13 in number, all women and children.
In exchange for 24 Palestinian women prisoners and 15 teenage males held by Israel, according to a Palestinian official, 4 p.m. in the Middle East, about 4.5 hours from now. CBS News Special Report, I'm Tom Foley.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. A fugitive is now formally charged with the death of his 12-year-old son, whose decomposing body was found in a home in Milwaukee last month. The Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office filed reckless homicide charges this week against Ramyun Moy. No one is sure exactly when Jackery Robinson died or how. Meanwhile, Moy is on the run and there's a warrant out for his arrest. Prosecutors in Wisconsin may Sunday get more time to file sexual assault charges. Republican Senator Andre Jacques is introducing a bill to extend the statute of limitations for sex crimes in Wisconsin from 10 years to 20. Jacques says prosecutors in other states have 20 years to press sexual assault charges. A similar bill passed the state Senate last year but stalled in the Assembly. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
Shout out to my mom's. She makes these sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 30 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, 19. Tomorrow, cloudy, 32 with a little light snow possible Saturday night. Into Sunday morning, Sunday will be breezy with a high of 33. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 15.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Chris from Middleton, welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues, and I agree we need more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. In fact, we got to lean into the identity politics and not be shy about it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. 93.5, The Tap.
What is the meaning behind Movember?
It isn't just about the mustaches. Movember is meant to raise awareness about men's health, prostate or testicular cancer, or suicide, and also be a reminder to see your doctor. Movember started in Australia in 2003. It's now observed in more than 20 countries. So guys, remember to see your doctor, and however you celebrate this month, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. Thanks for joining us over your lunch hour. Maybe you're out taking a walk. Maybe you're out or sitting at your desk or just home enjoying the nice fall weather this Thanksgiving week. Maybe you're on the road. Dale, you going anywhere for Thanksgiving or just stay in Richland Center?
Well, I'm going to run out to the farm in the morning and do my customary morning hunt on Thanksgiving.
But that's true. I mean, Tim knows this. Senator Cullen knows this. But for Dale to appear here in Madison, we called, back when I worked for it, we called this Holy Week, Gun Deer Week. You did not bother Dale on his tree stand during deer season.
That's true.
Did you get your deer yet?
I shot a doe day before yesterday, so I'm just out enjoying myself and hoping for that big buck.
And Senator Cullen, any Thanksgiving plans in particular, or just going to hang out this week?
Well, I'm very, very fortunate that four of my children, the five, live in Janesville.
Oh, wow. That's great.
And what Barb and I figured out several years ago was that they're married, and they are the in-laws. Mm-hmm. And so by having Thanksgiving here for everybody, they were all had to go run over to the in-laws and have dinner there and fill themselves right up, and then come here and try to eat here. Mm-hmm. And we thought, that's silly. Why don't we just have our Thanksgiving on Friday?
That's
they
great.
Can go to their in-laws mm-hmm. on Thursday on Thanksgiving, and everybody's happy. And I could watch the Packers on Thursday. And then there's another game on after that one. There's no, right. three games on. It used to be just the Packers. Now there's football from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. So it works out great. So they'll all come. We'll get together on Friday.
That's
and
great.
We're actually going to get together at one of my daughter's homes. Mm-hmm. Works out great.
Well, that's great. Happy Thanksgiving to both you and your families, and happy Thanksgiving to all of our listeners as well. You've heard them, State Senator Dale Schultz, State Senator Tim Cullen, both former state senators, both former majority leaders, Dale of the Republican Party, Tim of the Democratic Party. They are here today to talk about this issue before the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. We're happy to have them here. West Politics now, reading from their story from this morning. Wisconsin justices are hearing arguments in a lawsuit that could overturn the legislative maps drawn by the Republican lawmakers and blessed by the state Supreme Court's former conservative majority, with Justice Janet Protasiewicz now on the court and making it 4-3 liberal majority. The justices are expected to focus on two issues. First, are the current maps unconstitutional based on non-contiguous territory? And second, did the court's decision in April of 2022 to select lines drawn by Republican lawmakers and vetoed by Democratic Governor Tony Evers violate the separation of powers? A group of Democratic voters that filed the lawsuit originally asked the court to determine whether the maps constitute an unconstitutional partisan gerrymander. The court declined to focus on those issues. Still, the plaintiffs have argued in their filings that any remedy should ensure no party has the advantage over the other politically. The court has set aside 80 minutes for oral arguments today for each side in the case, and we continue to follow that. Both Senator Schultz and Senator Cullen were there this morning for part of the oral arguments. Senator Cullen joins us from via phone in Janesville. Dale here in our Madison studios, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. This is your opportunity, friends, neighbors, and listeners, to ask two of the most well-versed people in the state of Wisconsin and the last two people to offer a true bipartisan bill on fair maps in the state. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789 will make it easy for you. 844-96-PARTY. That's P-A-R-T-Y. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. If you don't have it, download it on your Apple or Android device. It's quick, it's easy. It's what Gail King at CBS calls a deal. The Civic Media app. Let's go to the text line first. Mark from the SAC on WMDX, listening here in Madison. He says, quote, it's like saying the UP of Michigan is directly contiguous with the lower part of Michigan. Oh, I see. They're both connected by Lake Michigan. And, of course, he is a longtime listener. We know it's a satire there. But, gentlemen, he makes a point, right? I mean, the UP and lower Michigan are not contiguous. Right, Dale?
No, they're not.
Last time I checked.
And I think the reason there's a focus on this, again, I'm not an attorney, and I don't pretend to be in the minds.
You don't play one on the radio.
Yeah, I can't even play one on the radio. But I think that this is the key to getting the court to take jurisdiction. It's clearly defined in the Constitution, and once they have a hold of it, then I think they have some license, as the other point you're going to discuss allows them to do some other things.
Senator Cullen, also off the text line here, listening in down at WAUK in Waukesha. This listener says, quote, can you help further explain the separation of powers argument that they're talking about today? This is a little bit nuanced, but Senator Cullen, can you give us some insight on that?
No.
Okay.
I thought you might want a short answer.
No, that's fantastic. You know, honesty has always been one of the strong suits.
I'm not able to do that. I'm not Dale, a lawyer. Glad I'm not.
Yeah, Dale has a little bit something here for us, so Dale, give it to them. Yeah,
I kind of alluded to this earlier. You know, we oftentimes hear people say, we want an impartial court. We don't want justices legislating from the bench. They each have a separate role in our form of government, and that's separate and distinct from the executive branch, and they are supposed to keep each other in check by what they do and keep each other honest. What where this becomes an issue is whether or not the legislature was fair in what they did or whether they were political, and what role, if any, does the court have to provide for justice? And the system is sort of set up that they should deal with facts that are brought to them, that there is precedent that they have to deal with. And the larger issue, which I mentioned earlier, that comes up is, doesn't the court have a role to check either executive or legislative branches when it perceives that there is harm to the general public? And that argument is usually framed in this case around the fact that we have overwhelming majorities by the Democrats for all the constitutional offices, and yet somehow or another the Republicans wind up with over 60 of the seats. And I think there is a growing realization that is a result of some heavy-handed use of analytics and computing power. And we'll have to see what the court decides. These are legal scholars. They are very intellectual people who I think care deeply about the people that they represent statewide. And these are not easy cases, as Justice Ann Walsh Bradley said this morning, and I agree with her.
There was a great article in The Guardian here that came out this week, and there's a graphic in there that really puts this, you know, this from Ballotopia, or Ballopedia is the source on that in The Guardian story. And the headline of the graphic says, Wisconsin's state assembly consistently outperforms the state's partisan lean, to your point, Dale. And in 2010, the Republicans of Wisconsin controlled 61% of the seats in the assembly, and the Wisconsin Republicans' share of the vote in the general elections in 2010 was 52%. So they won 52% of the general election vote, but controlled 61% of the seats. That's a 9-point gap. Fast forward to last year, 2022, the Republicans in the assembly they got a 48% of the general election vote, but now control 65% of the seats in the assembly, a 17-point gap. It went from 9 in 2010 to 17-point gap in 2022. And Senator Cullen, I think in a lot of people's minds, you know, you don't have to be a political scientist to say that just doesn't add up.
Well, that's for sure. I mean, it's just so blatantly obvious. And you know, the people have spoken on this issue with these advisory referendums in some 20 counties, including my home county of Rock. And overwhelmingly, in the 70% level, they were saying they wanted fair maps. And in fact, Rock County is the only county I know that actually broke 80. Mm-hmm. 80% in Rock County. Now, Rock County is a Democratic county, but it is not an 80% Democratic county. I say that just to point out that the voters who voted, the 80% that voted, had to include a lot of independents and a lot of Republicans.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that you both talked about in your travels across the state for several years in talking about this issue of gerrymandering, because I think a lot of people think they hear it and they just think, well, you know, I guess that's just politicians do what politicians do. Senator Cullen, could you explain a little, just two of these terms that people might hear about, but they might not understand, called packing and cracking? What does that mean when politicians draw maps, when they pack and crack?
Well, packing means you figure out by zigzagging the lines every complicated way you can, including islands, to stuff as many minority party voters into the smallest number of districts possible. So we've got 199 assembly seats. So if you got maybe 30 seats that are 40 seats that are pretty safe Democratic seats, you want to take, by all this modern technology, you want to carve up streets and alleys and you know, whatever you need to do to carve out and put all the Democrats as possible into a small number of seats, and that therefore leaves the ability to have the Republican voters spread over 60-65 out of the 99 seats. And cracking is just cutting up, busting up existing lines to do the packing.
And we see that.
That's how I understand it anyway. Maybe yeah. Dale's got another additional.
And again, we're talking to state senators, former Senate Majority Leaders, Tim Cullen, Democrat in Janesville, and Dale Schultz, Republican, who joins us here at our studios in Madison. We appreciate you both being here. But Dale, to Tim's point, that a lot of times what happens is when Republicans draw the maps, as they have for the last couple of times, they try to pack as many Democratic legislators into Dane County and to Milwaukee County. And then in areas like where you represented some swing states, they'll just carve things up. And it makes no sense at all to the average voter of knowing where the heck they're supposed to vote or who they vote for.
Well, I would say that's largely correct. The difference in western Wisconsin is this, that normally the redistricting process, because of Voting Rights Act and other court cases, begins in the urban part of the state in southeastern Wisconsin, and then they work their way around the state in what's left, usually is southwestern Wisconsin, and the changes aren't quite so obvious as they are in southeastern Wisconsin. The other thing that oftentimes doesn't get mentioned is that the first consideration, of course, is who do we want to save and who do we want to get rid of?
Right.
And you can very easily take somebody's district who even has a solid district and crack it and take away their core support and make them vulnerable. And that's not, I think, what most people think ought to be going on. The process by which this happens, I think most people would say, should be blind to partisan considerations, and it should be fair. And you heard those arguments this morning if you were at the court. And I just believe that the public's feelings about redistricting now are so strong, the court's going to find it very difficult to just do a little tinkering around the edges about islands. I think they feel the pressure in Wisconsin by the average man and woman who Tim alluded to having participated in referendums, and they want to see some results.
If you have a question for Dale Schultz or Tim Cullen, give us a call, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Back on the other side.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Oh, how I hate to get up in the morning. Oh, how I'd love to remain in bed. For the hardest blow of all is to hear the bugler call. You gotta get up, you gotta get up, you gotta get up this morning.
Someday welcome back to the Tattle Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 10 now before the hour, 1 o'clock. Mr. Summers chose to reactivate my PSTD or PSTD from my legislative days when Dale would call me at a little after 6 in the morning and say, I'm halfway to Nisida. You're not up yet? Did you ever do that, Senator Cullen, call your staff at 6 in the morning?
No, and they never called me either.
I was just interested in providing good value to the taxpayers in southwestern Wisconsin, indeed all of Wisconsin. They should be availed of all your talents.
The taxpayer got their money's worth from the Schultz staff, I'll tell you that much. There was no cheating going. And the Cullen staff as well, also fine folks. Let's go to the phone lines quickly. Let's go across the pond to Jay, calling us from London in the UK. Jay, thanks for listening as always. Yeah, what's your question for Senator Cullen and Senator Schultz?
I just want to thank the two gentlemen for their service of the state of Wisconsin.
Well, that's very nice of you, Jay. We appreciate
thank you.
That.
Gosh.
I'm.
Yeah, I think sometimes people do kind of beat on the politicians, but you know, in life, sometimes people who do good things, they make mistakes. These gentlemen, probably they make some mistakes, but they have done a lot of good.
I think that's an accurate statement. I think I may have made a few mistakes, but I always tried to balance it out with the preponderance of good things.
Thank you, Jay. Really appreciate the kind
words. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's the first time I've ever had kind words said about me from Great Britain. So thank you very much.
There you go.
Yes.
International fans, guys. International fans. Yeah. If you have a question for former State Senator Dale Schultz, Republican, former State Senator Tim Cullen, Democrat, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, talking about gerrymandering, which is before the Wisconsin Supreme Court today. Let's go down to the Shaw, Waukesha on WAUK. Andrew from Waukesha, thanks for listening and calling in. What's your question?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. So I'm very curious to hear the gentleman's thoughts on the redistricting issue, and in particular, an idea that I continue to promote, which is that we don't need new maps, we need more representation. It's been a while since 1970, since we changed the amount of assembly and Senate districts, and in that case, we went from 100 assembly seats to 99. At what point are we going to address the fact that 60,000 people per assembly district and three times as much for a Senate district is just way too much, and we need more representation in mass?
Thanks, Andrew. Dale, you want to take it first, then Tim?
Well, I think it's a good point, and I oftentimes hear this argument with Congress more than the state legislature, where the numbers are just astronomical. It's really very difficult to get a feeling for the people back home. You know, I always explain to folks when they ask about what my job was. I'd say my job was to listen to the people back home, understand their deepest held fears and their hopes, take them to Madison, espouse them on the floor for all to hear, and then at the same time to do the same, to listen to all my other colleagues, do the same thing and take that back to the people. In other words, be a dialogue and get to what should be the law in that manner. But when the numbers get so large, it's really almost impossible to do that. Just think about how often you get a chance to have a conversation with your congressperson. You know, it's very difficult, even for the best of them who get out there.
Senator Cullen, what do you say about this question from the caller, Andrew Waukesha? Do we need more representation? In other words, more state senators and assembly people instead of redrawn maps?
Well, first of all, Dale makes a great point. Is it's even a huger, more huge issue, with Congress and U.S. senators are, you know, they're representing 3-4 million people. But I think where I think that idea could get some traction, I think it's worth exploring, is somehow have a standard that once the population of the state increases by X, or legislative districts are their number of people they represent is increased by 25% or 50% through population increase, that some more could be added. I think that makes some sense. It is very hard. I mean, when I was in the state Senate the first time, particularly my district was like 160,000 people. Mm-hmm. Well, I used to go out and have office hours and stuff, but you know, a lot, but people don't get a chance really to talk with you. They can email, of course, and everything else, but yeah. It just is very difficult to have a relationship with a fraction, a smallest fraction of the people you represent. That's the truth of the matter. That's where the person, Andrew, I think it was, that's where I think he's got a good point. And maybe just have it set up so that it only happens upon a certain amount of population increase.
State Senator Tim Cullen and Dale Schultz, about 2 minutes before we have to go this hour. I'll give you each a closing statement, as they say in politics and government these days. Senator Schultz, so we start with you. Your final thoughts on today in the Supreme Court and gerrymandering.
Well, I'm going to go back to where I began. It's quite a show to go there and listen to the justices, hear arguments about cases before the Supreme Court. It takes time. It takes energy. But that's the price we pay for living in a democracy. And we all have to learn to be better participants. And it's worth your while because you're listening to some of the brightest people in the states, in the state talk about some of the most important issues. So this morning, I think everybody was a winner in terms of the argument that was held and deeply debated. And I'm hoping that at the end of the day, our court is going to take an expansive role and protect the people of the state from undue partisanship.
Senator Cullen from Janesville, your final thoughts, 1 minute, a closing statement on the events of today.
Well, one thing that hasn't been mentioned is that people are so unhappy with government in Madison, government in Washington, and you can actually... this dysfunctional governments that we are watching and living with is a specific, distinct result of gerrymandering. Because there's two elections. There's a general election, which is won the day the maps are drawn, not on election day. Mm. They're a lock because of the way the maps are drawn. There's a second election called the primary. And these legislators, if they have to worry about anything, they got to worry about a primary. How do you avoid a primary? You only stick with your base. You stick with the extreme of your party. That's where you'll get a primary from. If you get called a compromiser or a moderate or something like that, you're going to get a primary. So it's true of Republicans as well as Democrats, because Democrats have safe seats, just not very many of them. Same deal there. They don't want a primary either. So the whole system of gerrymandering pushes the parties apart so they can't work together.
Former State Senator Tim Cullen, Democrat of Janesville, former State Senate Majority Leader, both Majority Leaders, Dale Schultz, Republican, Richland Senator. Appreciate you both. Thank you so much.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.